Well, he will eventually, you know. Apparently
give him, so.
Give him some turkey. The tryptophan is going to do wonders for him.
Okay, I'll take you up on that.
Jamie, thanks for talking with us.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a great, great holidays, guys. Lots of love.
Thank you, and you too. Jamie Oliver's latest book is Jamie's America. Okay, let's get to the phones. You can reach us at 800-537-5252 or go to the website splendidtable.org. And we're open to questions and stories, too. You know, those great Thanksgiving memories, which are usually about what went wrong as opposed to what went right. I am still annoyed that nobody ever talks about the Thanksgivings, especially one in particular, when I gold leafed apples and pears. And no one ever talked about it afterward. And what do they remember? They remember the time that the turkey fell apart because I cooked it too long. And that had something to do with the second bottle of bubbly. Anyway, 800-537-5252. We have got Miranda on the line from Portsmouth. Miranda, what
yes.
is on your mind, lady?
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My husband is smoking a turkey breast, so I'm really excited about that.
That's great.
And, but I'm doing stuffing just in the oven, and I've got half of it set aside all ready to go, and I thought that with the other half, I might put cranberries. I've got apples. I thought I might add fresh cranberries, and I was wondering if that would be a really bad plan.
What else is in the stuffing?
I've got, fresh parsley, dried sage, thyme, standard poultry
right,
herbs,
right.
celery, onions, garlic.
Wow.
And
bread?
Sausage, Italian sausage.
And bread?
Yes, bread. Mm-hmm.
And how long are you going to bake it? Is the sausage already cooked?
Yes, it is. I did it. Mm-hmm.
You know what I would do? This is what I would do. I think the cranberries would be fabulous in there. I think they would be great because they'd be this real, you know, tart, interesting. But this is what I do. I'd put them in a saucepan with a little water and a little bit of sugar, and I'd cook them about 10 minutes just uh-huh. until they start to pop a little or soften up, because in case you don't cook the stuffing long enough uh-huh. to kind of cook them, I want to make sure that they're not going to be, you know, like hard little balls of tartness.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then drain them or use the liquid in the stuffing, but then stir them in. And I think they'll be fabulous.
And did you say with a little sugar or no sugar?
A little sugar if you want them sweetened
just
up a bit.
Touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And a little chili if you want to have it really interesting.
That would be very interesting. What about a touch of nutmeg or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nutmeg would be good. Not too much clove, but a bit of clove.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's great is their allspice or cinnamon.
Yeah.
Yeah. The spicing with cranberries is always good because they just have that complex flavor that can stand that kind of spicing.
Sort of the only fruit that's naturally savory and sweet.
Exactly. Can I borrow that line?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. I will give credit, I promise, but it's a great
Thank
line.
You. It's an honor.
I think you're going to have a dynamite stuffing.
Thank you so very much. Happy, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh,
thank you again for having me.
You too, Miranda. You too. And thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. You can reach us at 800-537-5252 or send us an email, splendidtable.org. We have Patricia Joe calling from Atlanta. Patricia Joe, hi, what do you want to talk about?
Hi, I'm so glad to be on your show.
Well, thank you.
I was very inspired by a program that you had recently, and it was regarding a cook who has written a cookbook, and she had interviewed many, many Chinese families in the South, and also following that with a chef who gave recommendations on crisping the skin for the turkey. And I am a Chinese, German, second generation and first generation American Southerner.
Oh, my goodness. You know, this is really, you are totally emblematic of what we're about, aren't you?
Yes, I think so, or close to it. And because of all those heritages and also being American, of course we celebrate Thanksgiving, but because of that, we also have different dishes and different flavors on the table. And it was my father who was Chinese, and he was the one that was Southern. He was first born in Augusta, Georgia. And he loved Chinese food, but he also loved Southern cooking. And so my question for you today, because I was inspired by your program, got me to thinking, wouldn't it be fragrant and perhaps lovely to taste some Chinese spices on the Thanksgiving turkey skin?
Oh, that would be lovely. Okay, so is the question, what can you put on it?
What combinations? I'm familiar, of course, I'm very, very familiar with spices, but there's some that are very strong and some that may be overpowering, such as fresh ginger could be really, truly overpowering. And so I'm looking for some combinations and some quantities.
All right. I understand. Now, remember something, though, that these are things. Have you put the turkey in the oven yet?
No.
Okay. Because the overpowering part, yeah, if you overdo ginger, yes, it can overpower. But the other thing is, turkey is a pretty mild meat, and it can really take to high seasoning rather nicely. And so, I mean, you can have some fun here. You know, there's that classic combination of soy sauce, rice wine, which, by the way, that could be dry sherry, or it could be a wine, a red wine or a white wine, okay? Grated fresh ginger. And I would think this, okay, for the turkey, I would do a combination. I'd do about, I'm thinking, how big is the bird?
I am cooking turkey breast. That might be
Okay. No. But it's okay. So it's not a huge amount.
No, it's 4.5 pounds.
Okay. So you want about a tablespoon and a half of soy sauce. You want 2 teaspoons of the grated ginger. You want 2 large garlic cloves that you're mushing together. You want about the same amount of wine as you have the soy sauce. Okay.
Yes.
And if you're going to be, and I think a little sugar would be good in there. I don't want to put too much because I don't want to burn it. But I'd say probably about 1 teaspoon of sugar. Okay. And then the other thing I would add is, do you have any anise or?
Yes, I have anise seeds and I have anise stars.
Ooh, that would be wonderful. Okay. Do you have a coffee grinder that you could grind a spice in?
Yes, I have coffee grinder, too.
Oh, this is wonderful. All right. You're going to take a couple of the star anise is this star-shaped, you know, spice. So take a couple of pieces of the star, throw that in, and I want you to grind it up. And then you're going to add to that cinnamon and black pepper. Okay. And you're going to have a little bit of nutmeg with that, and that goes into that mixture. You mix that all together, and you put it under the skin of the turkey breast.
Wow.
And you will slow roast it. And if you want to baste it, you can baste it with a little bit more white wine, and I think you'll have a fabulous Chinese overtone to the turkey, and it'll be delicious.
Sounds wonderful. Now, slow roast to 325.
Slow roast to 325, probably 15, 20, maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes to the pound. You want it to be 160 degrees at the center, and then you give it about 20 minutes rest.
Okay, I have one question, and this may be an addition, or you may tell me that this is not what you would recommend. Or I have also Szechuan peppercorns, which is very mild. It is a pepper, but it is mild.
Oh, I know. It's almost menthol-like. I wouldn't add that to that mix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're safe with that mix. They could go into something else, a stir fry that you might want to do with a vegetable.
Right, right. And
okay?
I love that.
All
okay.
right.
That's a great combination. It was wonderful, and I really am excited about trying this.
Give it a shot. I think you're going to like it.
Thanks so much.
You take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, it is time for us to check in with our road food duo, Jane and Michael Stern of roadfood.com. Hey, you two, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Lynn.
Lynn. Hi.
Oh, gosh. You know, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving if we didn't do this every year.
I know. It's tradition.
I love listening to you. You are an alchemist. I just love how these... You just come up with these solutions. I mean, I'm in awe.
Shucks. You know, it comes from having a short attention span.
Well, it works.
I can't go any farther than that. You know, that's it. But are you guys in Connecticut?
We're sitting here in Connecticut together, and I just got through gold leafing Michael and the turkey.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And now I'm
going
to gold leaf Elmer, the French bulldog.
I think this is a lovely idea. See, nobody ever told me that they even remembered this. I'm so glad you're doing that. People will talk. So are you guys going out this year?
You know what we're doing? We're mooching this year.
It's a Thanksgiving tradition.
Right. Well, it's a new tradition. We have been very, very lucky that a couple of wonderful road food people we know sent us food in the mail. We got from Tucson.
Well, from I know we've talked with you about the Tucson Tamale Company.
Yes, yes.
And so you know what? They make all kinds of wonderful tamales, including vegan tamales and spicy ones. But this year they made Thanksgiving tamales.
What? Oh, is it a turkey tamale?
Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and gravy, all in a sage masa. And they're fabulous. Actually, we had some already, but they're fabulous.
The sage masa is really a brilliant idea.
That's essentially the cornmeal mush done with the ground corn. Oh, my. That sounds
unbelievable. So we're having that. And then Bud Royer from Round Top Pies in Texas sent us a macadamia nut coconut pie. We're having that. Then my friend, the assistant chief at the Georgetown Volunteer Fire Department, found his mother's 1952 Hungarian Orthodox Church lady cookbook, and he's making liver stuffing for his turkey, and I'm going to go over and steal some of that. So basically, we're just going around the neighborhood begging.
This is like a politician allowing lobbyists to cater their Thanksgiving.
It's true. We're easily buyable, Lynn, you know.
I like the idea you're so democratic you'll accept anything from anybody. Yeah, you know, I remember there was one year where you were talking about that there were sightings from your window of some movie star. It wasn't Russia. You couldn't
Richard
see Russia.
Gere.
That's right. Any more sightings? Any celebrity sightings?
Well, it wasn't from our
sightings?
Window. It was our friend's window, who's his next-door neighbor. Let me think. Have we had any celebrity sightings?
I
this is a great celebrity sighting. I was in Pepco the other day, and I saw the guy who played the boyfriend of the mother in 6 Feet Under.
This is impressive. Yes. This is impressive. Keep hanging out at Petco. You never know what you're going to find.
Exactly.
You know, you could hit on people there, too, and if you just have to love the dogs and the
cats. Well, he was with his wife and his scary-looking Rottweiler. Sorry, I wasn't going to, go.
Yeah. Kills the fun.
Play the fan.
Hey, would you two like to join me taking calls?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Okay. You can call us.
Do you have any
us.
Food for us? If not, I'm afraid we have to move on around the neighborhood.
The mailroom is shipping as I speak.
Okay,
all right.
Good.
Yeah, it's going to be stale when it gets there, but it's coming. Okay. You can talk to Jane and Michael Stern and make offerings if you call 800-537-5252 or send us an email, splendidtable.org. You two are disgraceful. Richard's on the phone. Richard's calling
Richard
from
here?
I don't know. It could be.
He said the Stern spying on us again?
He's calling from a Buddhist center in Bethesda.
Okay. Right.
Richard, sorry to tease you, sir. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Richard.
Hi.
I had
an 18-pound turkey, frozen actually,
yeah,
which I got from Polyface, this fancy place that makes great turkeys. And I only have 9 people coming,
mm-hmm,
so I sawed it in half, kept one frozen for Christmas.
Right.
And now I've got this half a turkey, and I'm not sure how much time I should cook it.
Is it still frozen?
No, I
just wonder it because, you know, anything can happen on this day.
Absolutely.
Jane, Michael, how much time do you usually give?
Well, first of all,
I want to know, did you use a chainsaw or a bandsaw?
Did you slice it horizontally?
I use one of these electric keyhole saws.
Can we have the half of the turkey you're not eating?
Yeah, sure.
I'm hungry.
I'll mail it to you.
Okay. You know, I have to say that in cooking turkey, and at least Michael will attest to this, I am a great turkey cook.
No matter what the recipe, I mean, it Jane's turkey is, like, insanely moist, and it's not because she brines it or deep fries it.
And here's what I do. I take, like, a crappy butterball turkey from the grocery store. I do absolutely nothing except pull its kishkes out, you know, so I'm not cooking the bag.
We all know about the kishkes. Yes,
I don't
yes.
tent it. I don't brine it. I don't season it. I throw it in a really hot oven, like 475, and let it cook, and then just take it out. And it's absolutely fantastic.
And how long, I mean, do you figure so many minutes to the pound?
I have no idea. Until it looks right.
Until done.
I do absolutely, it's like probably the only thing I can cook intuitively, but it's like, you know, it's always perfect.
Richard, I just think for safety's sake.
This won't help me.
Yeah. No.
Listen
no.
to Lynn, not to me.
No. Wait a minute. It's a fast roast, you know? How many pounds is this half turkey?
It's about 8 pounds.
Okay, so about 8 pounds. If you have the oven at 475 or 450, mm-hmm. all right, you can season it any way you want, but don't put anything that's sweet on it because it'll turn to a crisp.
Right.
Okay, and you could put it kind of the cut side down. And you figure 10 minutes to the pound. Don't stuff it, all right? Put
no.
10 minutes to the pound. And what you do, if it's 8 pounds, after 70 minutes, pull it out of the oven and stick an instant reading thermometer into the thickest part of the breast, and it should be around 160.
Okay.
And if it isn't, cook it a little longer, and then give it the infamous 20 to 30-minute rest period. And Jane's system probably will work brilliantly for you.
Wow, I never left. Let it rest. I never do anything. And you know what it is? Elmer, our dog, weighs 25 pounds. So I think I have this intuitive sense of like the size of a big turkey and what to do with it.
So you're ready to cook Elmer at
no,
the moment?
No, I'm not
notice,
cooking.
Right?
I don't think I'm we need, Jane, I don't think we need to go there.
No.
No, and Elmer certainly does not need to go there.
Richard, I think you're going to have a great turkey.
Thank you.
You have are welcome. And have a wonderful holiday.
He couldn't stuff a turkey if he cut it in half.
Well, you kind of could, but it would burn on the bottom.
Right.
Kind
That's
of thing.
True.
Right, yeah. Oh, we've got Pam calling from Fort Lauderdale. Pam, hi.
I do have to pee if you
come to a Pam, hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Pam. I'm sorry, we had a little confusion there. Pam, hi.
I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Pam. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can.
All right, Pam, what do you want to talk about?
Well, actually, you had suggested if I had a story about Thanksgiving that would be amusing, I thought I'd share it with you. I'm from Fort Lauderdale. I've always made Thanksgiving dinner, and I have my family, and I haven't had an English bulldog one year, and I decided he's adorable, but he was rather tanky. And I had my boys, who were young at the time, maybe 9 and 4 or 5, to bathe the dog. And I said, please take him and put him in the kitchen because he's going to be wet and I don't want him running around the house. I have guests coming. So they did that. And I went about my taking a shower and getting ready. I come downstairs and they had tied the bulldog to the oven door, which had a handle, of course, and thought that was a good place to put him. Before I could get him off the oven door, someone came to the front door. And as soon as they knocked, of course, the dog went crazy. Took off with such strength, he literally ripped the door off the oven and carried it to my front door to greet everyone. And the door, when he got to the front door and stopped, the oven door hit the dog in the back end and smashed him into the front door.
Oh, no!
It was
absolutely
hysterical. The dog was fine. My guest came in, and of course, the dog's still then running around with the door tied to his leash. It was a nightmare. It was funny later, but at the time, I was not laughing. The turkey caught on fire, believe it or not, because when the door came off, the oven came on, the broiler came on, and to heat the oven, I guess. And then the next thing I know, there's flames in my oven.
I'm sorry, I can't
to say, we had no turkey for dinner that year.
But did the dog?
I know. That was too funny. The dog is no longer with us. Unfortunately, that was about, 18 years ago. But I'll never forget that Thanksgiving.
You know, I really, that may be the best story we've heard. What do you think, guys? I think that's really, that tops just about everything.
I think we have a theme going with dogs and ovens and turkeys. I'm not sure I like this direction, but yes. I would not tie a bulldog to to my oven. That is for sure.
I have to say, I don't want to push it. I think we have really peaked here. Jane, Michael, have a great holiday.
Well, we're going to go off begging food around the neighborhood.
I see, and you'll probably be gathering wild herbs as you go.
No, we're gathering miniature marshmallows. We are the stir.
For the yams, right.
I get it. Hey, seriously, guys, it's so good to do this with you every year. You have
Thank
a good
you. Have
one.
A great holiday.
Bye, Lynn.
You too. Jane and Michael Stern are the creators of roadfood.com, and you can hear them every week here on the Splendid Table. Sometimes more's the pity, but we love them. You can reach us, 800-537-5252. Anything goes, stories or questions. We've got Teresa on the line from Georgia. Teresa, what do you want to talk about? Hello.
Oh, I have a problem. I have a Thanksgiving crisis.
We are here for you.
I have a pie, a pumpkin pie, and it's not from scratch. I mean, I'm, you know, used can, and I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry, but there's so much more going on.
You know what? Any way you can pull it off, you pull it off. This is the rule for the day.
Well, I didn't pull this one off. We put it in the oven, and we did everything right, and it was, you know, 425 for a while, pull it out, put it in at 350. Everything's going really well. Then we pull it out of the oven, and there's something wrong. It's the texture's wrong. It's wiggly. And we realize we didn't put the egg in. Is there anything I can do to save this pie? I mean, my mother talked about scooping the guts out, putting an egg in, whipping it up, and throwing it back in the oven.
You know what? Quite frankly, do you have any more crust around? Do you have any frozen crust or anything?
It's refrigerated. Rollout.
And the cold is good. Cold is good for a crust. I would pull it out. I would do the egg, and because all you've got is just more cooked pumpkin, right? So you started with cooked pumpkin. So I would do it. Just do what your mother said, but do it with a new pie crust. The other thing you could do is just take it. Does it taste good?
We've been afraid to taste it.
Well, I think if it tastes good, all you need to do is to take some small glasses, like wine glasses or whatever kind of glass, and cool it down, really chill it, okay? You probably already have some whipped cream in the house, right, for whipping?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would do a little thing of whipped cream on the bottom of the little glass, and then I'd put some of that pumpkin in, and then whipped cream on top. Stick it in the fridge, or just serve it right away, and you've got a beautiful parfait.
Oh, what? That is brilliant.
And you can tell them it's the latest thing from France.
Yes, I'll say, you haven't heard of this? I heard about it on the Splendid Table. You have to try it.
You are exactly right. Take our name in vain anytime you wish.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, and it will be utterly luscious, we promise.
I can't wait.
Happy all of this.
Thanksgiving.
And you too, Teresa. You too. Give it a French name and anything goes. Well, we're going to be back in a minute. I'm Lynn Rossetto Casper. You're listening to a special Thanksgiving broadcast, Turkey Confidential, from American Public Media.
I've got plenty to be thankful for. I haven't got a great big yacht to sail from shore to shore. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for. I've got plenty to be thankful for. No private car, no caviar, no carpet on my floor. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for. I've got eyes to see with, ears to hear with, arms to hug with, lips to kiss with, someone to adore. How could anybody ask for more? My needs are small. I buy them all at the fire.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper with Turkey Confidential from the Splendid Table and American Public Media. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We've Thanksgiving triage for cooks and non-cooks across the nation today. Now, you can reach us at 800-537-5252 or join our live chat at splendidtable.org. Okay, back to work. The lines are full. Let's see. We have got We have an email from Francis. Now, I'm going to read this verbatim to you, okay? This is Francis from Larkspur. He says, we have a situation. We're cooking for 17. We're running out of oven room. We've had a couple of Bloody Marys. Can I put my leg of lamb inside my turkey, kind of like a turducken? Francis, no. Now, this is what you can do, though. Lay off the Bloody Marys for the rest of the day, at least until you get the meal on the table. And this is what I do. We talked about this before. Just, I'd open up that leg of lamb, you know, just literally cut out the bone and flatten it out. And you can cut it into pieces, and then you can slow cook it in a skillet on top of the stove, just the way you would cook a steak. You know, brown it, knock the heat down, and then cook it until it's whatever temperature you want it. And then give it about 10-minute rest, and you're home free. The Bloody Marys are always the problem today on a day like this. Okay, we have got David calling from Baton Rouge. David, hi, what do you want to talk about?
My wife and I have tried various and sundry forms of cranberry over the years, chutney, jellied, whatever.
Right.
To me, nothing beats the stuff that comes out of the can.
You're an excellent, you know, you're an excellent company. A lot of people claim, I was just reading some chef, very famous chef, was saying, why bother making cranberry sauce? You know, the can is fine. So what's the question?
Well, it was basically a comment. I wanted reassurance that we weren't white trash because we like the stuff that comes out of the can. It has the ridges as cutting guides and everything.
I you know what? I agree with you, and I have to tell you because I love cranberry sauce spread on one side of the bread. You know, for turkey sandwiches. And mustard and mayo, by the way, on the other side. That's what.
I haven't tried. I will try that.
We civilized people do mustard and mayo. But the reality is that cranberry sauce spreads better than any of these, you know, fancy recipes that you have to cook and you have to dirty a pot and everything. No, I do not think you are white trash for using this. Not at all.
Thank you.
I should be scolding myself because I have fallen for that routine that if it isn't homemade. You know, I can't hold my head up. You know, the problem I have all the time is when people come to eat at our house, they expect a deity to be cooking in the kitchen. And little do they know that, number one, they're guinea pigs because I never make the same thing twice and I love to experiment on guests. And number two, everything goes wrong in our kitchen that goes wrong in everybody else's kitchen. Anyway, no, I would say go for that can of cranberry. Just think, you know, it saves you time. And in that time, you could hug each other or whatever.
So, oh, yeah. We'll stock up. We'll get two.
You got it. You got it.
Hey, thank you so much.
You are welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye, David. Bye. Reach us, 800-537-5252. We have got Heather calling from Washington, D.C. Heather, hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, it's all about family and building family. And my sister-in-law recently married a man from New Zealand who you and he have a lot in common, and that you both, when you talk about food, you do it with such adoration that it's almost religious. And so it drives me to cook things for him because he loves it so much. And he's driving me to cook turnips, and I don't really like turnips. And he's not asked for them, but I know he loves them. And so he's talked about his mother's turnip and carrot mash several times.
Uh-huh.
And so I am not a big fan of turnips, but I am trying to make this. But I look at the recipe, and I'm like,
What is it?
The recipe basically has like 1.5 pounds of turnips, two pounds of carrots, some butter and some nutmeg, and you boil the carrots and the turnips, and that just sounds unappealing to me. So I was wondering if there's a way that you can help me spice it up.
Believe it or not, that could be utterly delicious.
Okay.
Now, I like turnips a lot. All right. So, you know, I'm a little prejudiced here.
Okay. So
now,
I'll take
now,
it.
Now, all right. When does the butter and nutmeg go into the recipe? After you drain the things and
after you boil them, yeah.
And do you mash them together?
Yes.
You mash them together. Okay. I have a thought. First of all, I would throw into that a nice-sized onion that you cut up. Because
okay.
that sweetness of the onion is going to work on those turnips. The other thing, okay, so I would boil them until, you know, they're fairly tender,
uh-huh.
okay? But
and the onion in with the
The onion
oil
in
everything.
There. Yes,
okay.
exactly. But what one? There's two ways you could do this. One is boil it and then puree it. Or,
okay.
You know, in a food processor, adding generous chunk of butter. And
everything's better with butter.
Exactly. And fresh grated nutmeg and salt and pepper. Uh-huh. Believe it or not, that will be really delicious.
Okay.
I mean it. But there's another way to go with this. And the other way is cut them into chunks,
uh-huh.
Okay? Put them in a huge skillet that you've heated a bit of butter and oil in.
Okay.
And you want to sear them. You don't want them to really brown, but you really want to start them browning.
Okay.
And then you add
water. Oh, so it caramelizes.
A little bit. And then you add water to just barely cover with the nutmeg, with the salt and pepper. You cook covered until they're just almost tender. And then you uncover and you boil that down.
Okay.
Until it's almost syrupy. There's almost no moisture left. You're going to be turning them over so they don't burn, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then a little fresh butter at the very end.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
And
that sounds much better.
This is delicious. But you have to respect his mother's recipe because he wants
It's actually not his mother's recipe. I'm doing this for a surprise. And so I've searched online to find something.
Then I would do the skillet method. It's really tasty.
That sounds so much better than boiling.
When you cook these things until they're really soft, the carrots turn like turn to sugar. And that glaze, you get this sort of glaze from the fat and the sweetness of the carrots, and then the turnips are really fabulous.
Okay, and that sounds wonderful. I'm going to do that.
And
thank
a little
you so much.
Onion in there would be great, and a little garlic would not hurt either.
Like a clove, you think, or a little bit more?
Oh, no,
I never go with just a clove.
Never, no. Crush up about 3 or 4 cloves.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And you're going to puree it anyway.
Yeah,
just delicious, absolutely
okay.
delicious.
And well, thank you so much. I've listened to your show forever, and I love listening to you talk about food.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Very complimented that you know, your husband and me and all that. Have a great holiday.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye. You can reach us at 800-537-5252. We've got David calling from Columbus, Ohio. David, hi. What do you want to talk about?
Hi. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you too, sir.
Yes. We got such a kick out of the story about the bulldog. it's a great story. And animals, of course, you know, they always introduce a certain element into every plan that you have. We always had, cats and dogs. And so we've had a lot of, a lot of incidents. But a few years ago, my wife, she had a great idea. She had a recipe she couldn't wait to try out. It was a cranberry mincemeat pie.
Ooh.
And, I mean, she made this thing. It was a work of art. It was beautiful. She had little cut-out maple leaves and, the cranberry oozed up through it. We just admired it for the first 10 minutes. And then we finally took it, put it on the table to cool, and went up and we're getting ready to go to take it over to the family. And all of a sudden, we came down. So she asked me, she said, where's the cat? Well, we had this white cat.
Right.
And we went downstairs, and the cat was sitting in it like a hot tub in the middle of this beautiful pie, licking its paws.
Oh, brother. All right.
With its bottom stained completely red.
What did you do?
Well, we didn't try to doctor it up and take it. I did take a little fork and an untouched section. I tasted it. I said, the cat can have it. It didn't work. It was prettier than it was delicious.
Now, if that recipe had been a great success, the story might have ended quite differently. there's the old story. I've told this before, but we were having Easter at a friend's house years ago, and these two guys had great style, and they had this fabulous, one of them was from Virginia, and they had this fabulous country ham, and they also had an Afghan hound. And at one point, we're all in the living room, and suddenly the Afghan hound comes bounding out of the kitchen with the ham in its mouth, bounding across the room into the bedroom. Hightailing after it are the two guys. The door is closed. We hear sounds, all right? And then about an hour later, they served the other ham. And No one said a word. We ate it, and we were happy. But it was shaved to a different shape than we remembered the ham normally being. It's just... I love it.
Mine reeks of milk bone.
Yes, you got it. You got it. White cat, red pie. I love it.
Yeah.
You have a good one.
And he loved it. He gave it two paws up.
Well, so. I think this is, hey, this is, and I would say make something special for the cat today and all will be well.
Excellent. Great suggestion.
Oh, David, thanks for a great story.
So much.
Bye.
Right, bye-bye.
It's the animal edition. It is obvious. All set off by the Stearns. This is what our theme is going to be. You can reach us at 800-537-5252, or you can send us an email, splendidtable.org. We had a cat who ate the entire top crust from our Thanksgiving apple pie 1 year, and we couldn't get away with serving the other pie. We've got Ross on the line from Fort Lauderdale. Ross, what's on your mind, sir?
I love your show. I listen to the podcast. It's great.
Well, thank you.
I'm wondering, you spend so much time helping all of us on Thanksgiving. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? Are you cooking as we speak?
Well, we're doing a potluck, and this is what we do just about every year. In fact, I don't even know everything that's coming. So we do the turkey and the gravy and that kind of thing, and I did make some dessert, really simple stuff. But essentially, it's potluck, and it's sort of it's the anti-food professionals approach, you know, this idea that everything has to be terribly gourmet and terribly right. perfect. And the idea, we have friends who are great cooks, but frankly, it does not matter. What matters is we get together and we laugh and we carry on. And, you know, if something goes wrong, it's that whole business. The best stuff happens when something goes wrong.
Right.
And I think one year we had a group of people who didn't know each other, and we had some people who were very shy. And... it's the whole thing about how do you get people talking. So I actually created a problem with the turkey. And everybody laughed. So that's what we do. I mean, it ruins your reputation, but hey, you have a great time.
That's great. That's what we all love about you. Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I have to say, we really love doing this show. It's the one day a year we really feel needed.
Believe me, you are.
Well, thank you, sir. Ross, you have a great holiday, and thanks for the kind words.
Thank you. You too have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We have an email from Ted, and he says he forgot to buy the sausage for the cornmeal stuffing. What can he add for flavor? Okay, Ted, bacon. Whenever in doubt, add bacon. I'd brown up the bacon. And you know what I do? I'd brown with it some onion because, you know, really crispy browned onion has a really meaty quality. And if you don't have bacon, oh, let me see. You know what? Brown up onion and garlic. Okay, and that's going to give you a really robust kind of backdrop. Or do onions, brown them, and then stir in some smoky paprika if you've got it, or any kind of mild chili that has really great flavor. The other thing that's great with that browned onion is a little bit of tomato. It opens up all kinds of tastes. So that's what you do. 800-537-5252. Give us a call. Anything goes. Bill is on the line from Pittsburgh. Bill, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I love your show, and I always listen to it while I cook.
Well,
on the
thank you.
I love
thank
doing
you.
That, and I am inspired by you. But in any case, I think I messed something up. I'm not 100% certain. I have stuffing. It is edible, but it tastes salty.
Uh-huh.
And I either messed up the tablespoon-teaspoon thing.
Right.
Or the oysters, because this is an oyster...
Stuffing.
Bread kind of stuffing.
Right, right.
More saltier than any I bought before, maybe. That's the only other thing I'm thinking. And is there anything you can do?
Oh, let's see. Is the stuffing already in the oven or the turkey?
Oh,
or
it's
whatever?
Been cooked. I cooked the stuffing last night. I tasted it this morning and realized it was salty. Now, I joked with my wife. I said, there's nothing you can do. She said, use your caller. So,
you know, this is what I wonder. One of the ways you get rid of salt is to dilute or to use fat, all right? Now, this is going to make it a lot richer, but why don't you take – it's already cooked. It's baked.
Well, I put half of it in the turkey, and I baked half of it last night.
All right. Okay. If you baked half – take the ones you've baked last night, okay? And what I want you to do – you're going to make a pudding, all right?
Okay.
What you're going to do, and do you have room in the oven for this to cook?
Turkey's still in there, possibly.
All right, because
it's not
this
a big,
is what,
it's a 12-pound turkey. It's not
all right, or you know, all right, you can mix. First of all right. One point you can do is mash potatoes or crushed potatoes, and mix that stuffing with it, but don't season the potatoes. That's going to dilute the salt and still give you great flavor.
Well, that's a great idea, because I think I have more potatoes cut up for mashed potatoes than I need.
Ah, this will save you. The
I
other
wish
direction
I cut up last night too.
Yeah, the other direction I was going to suggest was get a big muffin tin. And take that stuffing, chunks of the stuffing, and mix it with a mixture of milk and eggs, like a custard, uh-huh. Right? So it would be like two eggs for 1.5 cups of milk. And mix that. You're making essentially a bread pudding, and then you put that in the custard cups and you bake it at about 350 or 325 until it's firm. And that's going to dilute the salt as well. But I think mashed potatoes, mix it in. Put it in a bowl, toss it together so there's still bits and chunks of the stuffing, but the mashed potato, and then you'll heat that up and it'll be fabulous.
Oh, that's a great idea. Thank
you
very
much. It'll dilute it. Yeah, a little salt.
Thank you for having a solution.
Well, extra salt's good for you when you're perspiring maybe or whatever. It'll save
Leaning
you.
Over the hot stove.
Yeah, exactly. It'll restore whatever nutrients it restores.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to talk to you. I didn't actually think I'd get through. I think it's wonderful. Thank you very much.
You are more than welcome, and enjoy. And remember, if it's not perfect, it doesn't matter.
It's still edible. It just was salty.
Some people love salt.
I know. I think my dad will like it.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Thanks
Bye.
A lot. Bye.
800-537-5252 or send us an email, splendidtable.org. Stories are welcome. Problems are welcome. Successes are welcome. And also, maybe, there's something going on that really has you puzzled. Well, we have Melissa from Durango, Colorado on the line. Melissa, hi.
Hi, Lynn.
Hello. You are in one of the most beautiful parts of the country.
And I really am.
And I imagine it's all white right now.
The little dusting of snow.
Ah.
But it's sunny and gorgeous, and I think it's about 4 degrees outside.
Oh, this sounds this is the Rocky Mountains, guys. This is the west side of the Rockies. So, do you have a question?
I do. So, I'm making 3 dishes, and the one I need help with is sautéed Brussels sprouts with bacon, because I concur that adding bacon to anything makes it good.
Yes.
And then I want to top it with some crispy sage. I'm always hearing about crispy sage, and it just sounds so yummy.
It is.
How do I make crispy sage?
Okay, you take your fresh sage leaves, make sure that they're dry, all right?
Okay.
And then you film the bottom of a skillet with a bit of oil, all right?
Okay.
And what you do is you get that oil hot, not smoking, just hot. It's going to look a little wavy, okay?
Okay. Should I do olive oil or canola oil? Do you think
You know what? I think you can, in this case, let's use canola oil.
Okay.
All right, because the olive oil, the flavor fades when you heat it. Now, before you heat it, though, what you want to do is have a cookie sheet or something like that and spread a couple of layers of paper towels on that. That's where you're going to drain the sage leaves.
Okay.
And also have a slotted spoon handy. That's how you're going to scoop them up. So what you do is you get that oil to the point where it's wavy. You drop in the sage leaves. You want enough to cover the bottom, but you don't want them really piled up. And you can do this in a couple of times if you have a ton of sage leaves you want to fry. And it's going to take 30 seconds. And you can stir them a little bit if you want to get them on both sides. But it's going to go so fast. And you'll see them get crisp. And you'll immediately, with that slotted spoon, scoop them up. Spread them out on the paper towels, and you've got the fried sage, and sprinkle them with salt. And you can do that way ahead.
That was my next question. So they won't get
way
coffee
ahead.
Or anything? Okay.
Nah. Mm-mm. Nah.
Okay.
Nah. And they're wonderful over almost anything. I mean,
they're going to, I can't wait.
Yeah. Fried sage is,
over the Brussels sprouts.
Fried sage is up there with lemon wedges, in the sense that anything you put them on, it will taste better. Squeeze lemon juice.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, and say hello to Durango for me.
I will, and I just want you to know this has become sort of a religion at our household, to wake up in the morning on Thanksgiving Day and listen to your show, and we're just very thankful for you.
You know what? It's sort of our religion too. It has, on our side, it has a few hellish moments, but generally it's great fun.
Thanks for putting up with all of us.
Oh, please. It's our pleasure. Thank you, okay. Melissa. Have a great one.
Bye.
You know, we're getting red-faced here. Okay. 800-537-5252. We have an email from Rachel in Seattle. She needs a quinoa dish. She needs ideas for a quinoa dish. Ah, this is going to be fun. Okay, Rachel, what you're going to do is you're going to toast the quinoa first, all right? You're going to just spread it in a skillet, put it over medium-high heat, and it's going to start to smell nutty. Then just dump it out. All right. And then you're going to saute, whatever you've got, celery, carrot, onion, that kind of thing. All right. And if you have some vegetable broth, that would be great. If you have a few tomatoes, that would be great. You're going to add the toasted quinoa to that with a bit of water or vegetable broth. Okay. Because I want to make this so that essentially it's a vegan or a vegetarian dish. And you're going to just let that simmer. It's essentially like making flavored rice. And you could have curry powder that you cook into that. You could have smoky paprika. You could have any kind of fresh or dried herb. And that's the basic idea. Okay. I love to end it. Okay. Finish it with fresh chopped apple and walnuts or any kind of nuts and just toss that. And then you eat it at room temperature. And it's really cool. Call us, 800-537-5252. We have Christina on the line from Maryland. Christina, hi. What do you want to talk about?
Yes, I just have a quick Thanksgiving story from when we and my husband were stationed in Germany. And I'm from Germany. I met him while he was stationed over there. And, of course, at that time, 20 years ago, nobody really knew about Thanksgiving. It's very popular over there now. But so we got this.
I didn't know that Germany celebrates Thanksgiving.
No. It's very popular now. They also do Halloween, even though half the people don't know what it's about, and the same for Thanksgiving. And I remember when we were over there 20 years ago, some of the American service member had their first Christmas tree with electric. I called it the light show. You know, the blinking light.
Oh yes.
And the whole neighborhood would gather in front. Oh, the Americans! Look at them! How they celebrate Christmas. And I remember when I had my first Christmas tree with the real candles on, my husband had a heart attack. What? You have real candles on that?
Oh, it's so beautiful, those real candles.
Yes. But anyway, so the story was we bought this huge turkey for my family to cook in my grandmother's stove, bought it at the PX, brought it home. It was like a huge event. All the neighbors came over and oh, gute Truthahn, nice turkey, you know. So we sat everybody around the table, my brother. And that was also before the digital times. He had this elaborate camera with 8 lenses and whatever, and he was going to make a picture. And it was, you know, you had to put a real film into the camera, right? So we cooked the turkey and have a little schnapps, a little wine, and blah, blah, blah. Everybody's very happy. We eat the turkey. We're all tired afterwards. And then my brother took a picture before and after. And after all the work went into the turkey and everything, next day he calls me and said, I forgot to put the film in.
He made
air pictures of the turkey. And we were like, oh, gosh. So that was the story. Yeah, it was very fun. By the way, I love the story with the oven door. I mean, the door that, the dog pulling the door off the oven
and then the broiler going on automatically.
And setting the house on fire, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but think about this. It's the old business. You're telling this story, and it's about the thing that was unexpected and went wrong. And then all those Thanksgivings since then, no doubt, were memorable.
Yes.
But this is what you remember.
Right. Well, and it was also special because we were over in Germany, and we brought a little bit of the American history over, and, you know, everybody loved it.
Yeah, and also nobody's going to forget it.
No, when I go over there now, neighbors that are 90 years old, they come over and, forget the air photos. And so we always have a good time about it. I also want to thank NPR. I'm an American citizen now, but I live in Maryland and I love America, but I still have a little bit of European in me. So I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and listen to BBC. So it's a great show, and I love your show too. So.
Thank you very much. And even though this is probably, many, many whatever months or whatever since you became an American citizen and you came to the country. Welcome. And thanks for sharing the story.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
And you too, Christina, and to your whole family.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. You can call us 800-537-5252. We've got Anthony on the line from Harrington, Delaware. Anthony, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I've got a very, very interesting scenario that only you possibly can help me out with. I'm hosting Thanksgiving at my house this year, and there's about 18 of us in the family, and it's a very touchy, awkward situation. Some of the family doesn't get on with other family members.
Ah, this sounds so familiar.
Yes, and you see, part of me, I want your advice, because part of me wanted to actually have place cards and have some of the people sitting right next to the people that they don't really get on with, just so that for once they can try and just have to talk to each other, whether it be pass the potatoes or pass this. And I just wanted to see what your thoughts were before fireworks actually flew today.
Well, let's put it this way. By the way, I remember a great hostess saying that the most important thing that she did was psyching out how she was going to seat people at the table.
Mm-hmm.
She said, the food is fine and all that, but this is what makes the difference. And, I think your instincts are right on. They may not get on anyway, but certainly what you don't want to have happen at the Thanksgiving table is you've got one camp at one end of the table and one camp at the other end of the table.
Exactly. And to top it off, there's actually two sets of four families that I haven't told that the other one is coming.
Oh, you are a devil, aren't you?
Well, it's time to give thanks. And I thought, let's be thankful that we can all get into a car and we can all drive and we can all go to my house or to whoever's house. And I think the surprise is the best element.
You know, I agree with you. And one of the things I think people forget, and I don't mean to sound like I'm lecturing, but I am, is that when someone has gone to the trouble to make a meal, invite you to their home, your job is to not only present your body, your job is to leave whatever's going on in your life that's going to make you not a pleasant person to be with out on the curb. And your job is to show up and be civilized. And that means engaging other people and being, and for, 3 or 4 hours out of your entire life, be pleasant to a person you maybe can't stand the sight of. So, no, I mean, I'm fed up with this. I grew up with a family where the older men, if a man spoke during dinner, he was being the most social being in the world, and people behaved like it was the second coming. And it made me crazy, because here were these people who would go, yeah, all right, good, I want more turkey.
Yeah.
And it was, enough already. So,
do you think I should set up the video camera on a tripod in a very inconspicuous place just to see what happens? Because I am a bit of a devil, you see.
Oh, I never guessed that in a million years.
And I thought, what better way to end the entire evening by I told them I went to the trouble of having a very well known baker. Bakery make a fantastic dessert for us. And what I'm thinking of doing, and you would probably say yes, I think, I'm wondering if I should take the cake out of the box, fill the box with loads of shaving cream, and then cover the lid, and then trip as I present the cake.
Yes, absolutely. But I would do something like that toward the beginning of the meal and get them hooting.
You know what?
Figure something out and do the place cards.
Mm-hmm.
And anything you can do to lighten this thing up, I would do it. Spill drinks,
Spill drinks.
Start a small fire, in the living room where you do not have a fireplace. But seriously, get them laughing and
Good.
Get them laughing at themselves. Hey, Fantastic. You have a great Thanksgiving.
You do the same.
And you all have a great Thanksgiving. I'm Lynn Rossetto Casper, and you're listening to Turkey Confidential, live from American Public Media.
American Public Media.
Far too many of America's youth go hungry. Hunger and food insecurity are derivatives of poverty. They wouldn't exist if poverty didn't exist.
Listen to the issues surrounding childhood hunger. It's the fourth annual Hunger Symposium, Friday, November 26th at 10 a.m. on WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Community Blood Services of Illinois, providing all donated blood for patients in Champaign-Urbana, Charleston-Mattoon, Danville, and Effingham. Blood donation takes only 45 minutes and saves lives. Donation information at 367-2202 or on the web at bloodservices.org.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.